This is Will's Band of the Week for March 24th, 2015. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris, live in studio.
Hey, this is Barrett. I'm live in studio.
No, this is
Oh!
Yeah, nope.
Can we do that over again?
See, because you were looking at me, you were thinking like, Barrett, so, but you're...
Wait a minute.
It's you.
I screwed that up.
Wait a minute, you guys. Wait.
Hello, yes, it's me, Nicholas, and I'm coming to you via satellite. I'm going to say via satellite because back in the 80s, when things were like broadcast from another country to Australia, they always made this big deal about it was being broadcast via satellite because in the 80s, satellites were quite new. So I'm coming at you via satellite from Melbourne, Australia. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Nicholas.
Madison, Wisconsin, and the world. Yes, good to be here. But I am, in fact, not here. Well, I'm kind of pre-recording all of these little bits that you're going to hear me say. So it's possibly going to get a bit weird, but I have faith in the podcasting universe that this will somehow make sense. Right, guys?
Can, you with me? Can we ask you some questions?
We have an automated Nicholas this week. It's like the Nicholas robot.
Wow.
It's like when they bring Tupac back to life in the form of a hologram.
That's yeah. Right. It's like a hologram of Nicholas.
Like the Nicholas hologram. By the way, satellite is not all that outdated of a technology. I have a satellite dish on my house right now.
Yeah.
Do they just have like teleportation in Australia or something or what?
They're way, way ahead of us.
I would think so. I think that's probably
they're
the
like
case.
A day ahead of us.
They are. They are literally a day ahead of us.
Whatever technology we have tomorrow, they have today.
Right.
Literally.
Satellites are going to go out of fashion.
Tonight.
Tonight. This is it.
Okay. Music news, anybody? I think Chris has some music news. I've got some too, actually, sort of.
I watched a... that was loud. I watched a movie the other night. It was called Searching for Sugar Man. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I think so.
Waiting for Sugar Man? Waiting for Guffman?
I think it's Searching
for Guffman.
Right.
Oh.
A lot of this was in South Africa, right?
Yes.
But they were searching for him. Yeah.
They were searching for him there about the musician Rodriguez, who in the early 70s apparently had this big album that went nowhere in the U.S., and went huge in South America,
South Africa.
And I think the movie goes a little overboard. It's like almost giving him credit for ending apartheid. Like this,
yeah.
This one singer who was a nobody in the U.S.
Right.
And I think they go a little bit too far and, you know, oh, Bob Dylan? Bob Dylan was nothing compared to this guy.
For sure. Yeah, that's
a little,
right.
That stands out.
I mean, granted, you want to make your movie as important as possible, and you want to, you know, push it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's a really nice story. I mean, the story was that he, you know, was this folk singer during the era, and according to legend, he either set himself on fire on stage or blew his brains out on stage when his career was not going well, and. The movie is about whether he's still alive, people searching for him, chasing him down, following the breadcrumbs to see where he is. And I believe it won Best Documentary in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, the Oscar. So, yeah.
We shouldn't spoil it for people, right?
No, we won't spoil it.
Right.
But I think I saw it.
He did play a concert in Milwaukee, though, like last year, I think.
Oh, What? You didn't tell them to turn. You didn't tell them to forward 30 seconds on the podcast.
I did use the word spoiler. But so
it might have been a hologram. It might have been a hologram that played in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, his name is Sixto Rodriguez. You sure it wasn't Sixto Lescano?
It could have been Sixto Lescano. Yeah.
Yes.
Number 16.
He could have been playing in Milwaukee.
That's true.
Yeah. The ghost of Sixto Lescano.
Man,
right now, I watched this movie about a year ago. Didn't he record an album? And the record company thought it was just going to be huge, and then it just kind of flopped. And then there are all these extra copies in record stores, and then they just somehow they surfaced in South Africa, and he had this huge following down there.
Yeah, right. I mean, the story went that one woman from the U.S. took a trip down there and had a cassette of it, dubbed some for some people down there, and it caught fire. And the album had the first track on it was about drugs, Sugar Man. Song Sugar Man is all about drugs, and so when it crossed the border, they would scratch out that song to make sure it never got played on the radio, that type of stuff. So, yeah,
interesting. Yeah, I did see that too, and I came away with my lasting impression of it is that it's the kind of thing that can never happen again now that there's such thing as the internet.
Agreed.
You know,
yeah. You'd get found quicker.
Very, very quickly.
Unless they don't have the internet in South Africa, but I bet they do.
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah.
We need a South African correspondent.
No, it's like, well, we're huge in Australia.
That's, yeah.
And we have some, yeah, I mean, we're huge in Australia right now.
That's a total analog, right?
Yeah, we can't get arrested in America.
Literally.
Literally, we cannot. Barrett and I tried the other night to get arrested and couldn't.
In a way, yeah.
Maybe we should check in and see how Nicholas is doing.
Hey, look, guys, this actually feels kind of good because, normally I don't even have to be in the same country as you guys. I don't have to look at you. I don't have to smell you. Don't have to be in the same room. So normally me being on the other side of the world really helps. I feel like me, like, pre-recording these little snippets is a further improvement because, like, I basically don't even have to talk to you. So, let's just see how it goes with me just talking to no one and you slotting this little bit in between what you say and... is this going to work? This is just getting ridiculous. Do something.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut that stuff out. What you think?
We'll edit it all in, and then we'll edit it right back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we send like a special version of the podcast to Nicholas? Hey, listen. There you are.
We included all your stuff.
this could be for the premium members who pay like $50 a month. They get the Nicholas stuff.
Also my porn name, Premium Member.
Oh boy.
Oh, that one's going to get scratched out when the album gets to Australia. They're going to scratch that joke out.
Yep.
Remember last time that we had Nicholas on live by satellite, I kind of apologized to him and I said, hey, if I'm busting your chops or whatever, or kind of teasing you, please don't take offense to that. And I think he took that as a challenge. So he's bringing his A game and he's coming out swinging.
I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, so the story is Barrett and I are down on State Street after a few beers here in Madison. And we find this citation book that a Madison police officer had dropped, to write up people that are too drunk or whatever.
And they just dropped it?
They just dropped it. Yeah. Maybe they were riding by horse or something and the horse dropped it. The horse is...
It was the horse's fault.
The horse was writing citations, had it out. And so we literally walked around downtown Madison trying to find a cop to hand it to and couldn't. So I was like, Barrett, do something illegal. And he refused, sadly.
Yep. I played by the rules.
We thought the go-to move would just be to go up to girls and cite them for being way too hot.
See, my idea was to write
it in the book and then turn the book in.
I'm sorry, miss. I'm going to have to cite you.
But eventually we did find some capital
for
police.
Stealing my heart.
Yes. Let's say, I was going to come up with a code for that. But
Anyway, Searching for Sugar Man.
All right.
Yeah, go see it.
Okay. I have something, too.
You do?
Go on.
I read, but I didn't read. I listened to the audiobook of the Kim Gordon autobiography.
Ooh.
Remember, this was the Will's Band of the Week book club. I don't know if any of the listeners actually read or listened to this. But I had some time, and there's the 20-minute Nicholas music journalism review, and then there's our types of reviews, which is, yeah, it's pretty good. So there you go.
All right. Wow.
Okay. Pretty good.
I'll give a little bit more information. She comes across as very down-to-earth, very earnest-sounding.
This is an autobiography or a biography?
No, it's her writing it about herself, you know.
That counts as an autobiography. Yeah.
She narrates
memoir.
It.
Memoir?
She does her own narration on the audiobook. And, a lot of it is about her growing up with a brother who was a paranoid schizophrenic, and that was kind of wild for her. Interesting. And then there's a lot of, rock and roll anecdotes. None of them inconsistent with what I had already heard about the people she talks about, like, you know, Billy Corgan being kind of a jerk, Courtney Love being kind of Courtney Love.
No.
And she was kind of actually friends with Kurt Cobain, and she said that once he got together with Courtney Love, a lot of them were worried that this is going to be a train wreck, which it ended up being, right?
Gordon Damas.
And and then there's quite a bit about the whole breakup with Thurston Moore. And it's hard to, you know, hear one person's perspective and not kind of take sides on it. But you do say to yourself, what's your deal, Thurston? Come on, man. That makes you think that.
You need the Thurston Moore response, like the State
right.
of the, State of
exactly.
the Union response.
Right. No, I. She tells it pretty convincingly, like
a full book, and then now Thurston Moore gets 30 seconds to rebut.
Right. It almost sounds like the way she tells it is convincing enough that you get the idea that he would just say, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm guilty," basically. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's usually not how those things work.
Yeah,
he'd probably have a rebuttal.
He might.
But on that note, if I ever join a competitive beer drinking team, that's going to be my name, Thurston Moore.
Thurston with an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Oh man, not bad, not bad at all. All right, well, we have a lot of music to talk about, and it's going to be fun. Before we do that, Nicholas had one more comment for Barrett.
Hey, you know, Barrett, I love it when you say horse shit. I don't know why. So something about the way you say it. So I'm hoping in this podcast there's some point where you just say, what a load of horse shit. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can put on a t-shirt or something.
You have trademarked
now
that
I'll,
saying, have
now
you?
Now I'll never be able to say it, you know, unconsciously again.
That's evidently your greatest hit, though, so you have to
try it, right?
You have to save it for the...
Yeah. He'll find a time during the podcast to say that, I think.
So I'm not just going to say it right now?
No, it's got to be spontaneous. You've got to come up with it at the... Well,
you have to save it for the encore, though.
Yeah.
The word which shall be referred to as it for a while until until I say it. So I'll think of a time.
All right.
Okay.
Australia's counting on you.
We're going to turn it over to Barrett. He's going to tell us about the new Colleen Green album.
All right. Well, Colleen Green. It's called Colleen Green. And I like it.
It's called I Want to Grow Up.
Yes, the album is called.
And it's got a pink cover.
And she's kind of dressed up like a birthday girl.
Right.
And I'm not sure how old she is, but she's on the young side.
Yep.
And this music kind of reminds me of, well, it's got kind of a 60s girl group type thing. And it's definitely got a Best Coast, you know, Bethany Cosentino kind of a thing. And, I think even a little Liz Phair, which is that fair to say?
That would be fair. He beat me to it, even though that was which makes it the most obvious joke possible.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that because I'm not a huge Liz Phair guy. So I ran that theory by Chris, and he said, yeah, that it was close enough. So
I am the authority.
You are the authority.
I'm the guy.
You are the '90s guy.
I am the guy in 2015 still searching for videos of Liz Phair, though, I have to admit.
Yes.
She is still, because I wanted to see, like, you know, there was a time when she, when like her was a fourth album came out and it was her sellout album and it completely bombed and like firebombed her career. I thought, ah, maybe I have a chance with Liz Phair.
Yeah, now
that that worked out.
Her but it was star not, has fallen.
It was not to be.
Didn't happen.
Nope.
Mm. Maybe no, maybe after videos. She dies.
She's got to be like 50 though, and she's holding it down.
Yeah, she's probably pretty close to that age.
Anyway, Colleen Green, everybody.
Well, Chris and I both, I think, like this album, and we were commenting on the fact that it might be hard to pick out a song. So I'm just going to start off with the title track.
It's the title track and the opening track.
So there it is. Discuss, podcasters.
Colleen Green. All right.
Now, we all know something about this, about how one of us feels about it that the listeners don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I know that someone feels a certain way, but I don't know what that feeling is.
We'll let that unravel.
Suspense.
Mystery.
Right.
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to pick a song?
Who's going to go next?
I'll go next. Let me... just the other day, Barrett said, "Hey, have you heard that Colleen Green album?" And I said, "No, I have not." And he said, "You will really like it." And he absolutely pegged me because I'd really like it. And it was a little disturbing because I thought maybe I was a little more mysterious than that.
We're all pretty simple when it comes down to it.
Simple people.
That's a good thing.
He knows where my wheelhouse is, and it's pretty much this album. And yes, you're not going to hear anything on this album that you haven't heard over and over and over again, but it's, you know, a style, and... there are good albums within the same style oftentimes. So I am going to pick the song. It's the second and the last song on the album. It's called Grind My Teeth.
Yeah.
That's a good one. It's got a little like fatter chords, a little more plotting than your typical Best Coast song, I think.
Yeah, I'm certainly no Colleen Green expert, but from what I've seen of her and listened to of her past albums, she's kind of a do-it-yourselfer. Like, her thing was she'd go up on stage, start playing a drum track, like on a computer, and then just play over that. And that's and that's kind of the way her last album is, at least. It's almost all entirely electronic drums. So I think having a studio drummer really helps it a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Really fills it out a lot more.
Did you listen to some of the old stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. Melodic.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the same.
That's Chris is predictable with that, too. He likes music that's melodic.
Yeah.
My God. I'm gonna come in here with...
Isn't that the worst? Melody.
I know.
Horse shit. That I said it.
Yeah.
How was that? All right.
I don't think it was right.
I know. Music you can sing along with. Music you can bob your head to. What kind of asshole am I?
I know. Yeah. So shallow.
History's greatest monster.
It's like, no wonder he likes all that teeny bopper.
I need challenging music.
Yeah.
Confrontational.
Music that's challenging, but not confrontational.
Right.
So I'm dying to hear what one of us has to say about this album.
Okay. All I told you guys is that I had a major criticism of the album, right? I didn't tell you anything else.
Well, you said that and that you took it off of your playlist.
I did. And then
based on this main criticism.
And then I came back to it, and I think, I really wanted to like it, and there are aspects to it that I like. But there's just one part of it that just gets me, and I can't get past it.
Wait, if I know this, am I going to not be able to enjoy it anymore?
You'll enjoy it just fine.
Okay.
It won't ruin
then
it
I'll
for
listen.
You.
You're not poisoning the well.
Yeah, that's the words I was looking for.
That chainsaw guitar sound, I just don't like it. It's Grant told me that the producer, or I think one of the members of the band Jeff the Brotherhood, produced this album. And to me, it just sounds like a guy from Jeff the Brotherhood went into the studio and made all of her guitars sound like Jeff the Brotherhood and totally made it worse than it would have been. And it's just totally subjective, I guess. I like a lot of loud guitars, you know, but for some reason, just this particular, you know, buzzsaw guitar, it gets in the way to me. So here's an example of a song that does not have that guitar sound.
Oh, you're going to pick one.
Which is my favorite song on the album. Maybe by process of elimination, but I do think that there are a lot of catchy songs on the album, and I want to like it more than I actually do. So that's the song I'm picking. So I'm picking the song Some People.
Some days it's hard to believe.
That one's all right.
That's my least favorite now. Just because of that stuff you said.
All right, well.
Bring on the buzzsaw guitars.
Yeah, I need more chainsaw.
Yeah, me too. Nice try. But I guess I can see how there is a song in there. It just is lacking the the guitars.
I do think that it was a good move to get some real drums in there. Much better than a drum machine.
Yeah, go back and listen to some of her other stuff, and it's good, but it's not, I think, what it could be, what this album is. And her thing seems to be wearing sunglasses a lot.
Yeah. She's wearing them on the cover of this.
She wears them in the video for the song TV, which is out as well. That's the hit, apparently.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, if we're going to play another one, might as well play that one.
Are we? It's up to Mr. Grouchy Pants over there.
Maybe you better take off your headphones so you don't have to hear it.
You want it, you can have it. TV.
TV is my friend, and it has been with me every day from an early age. TV is my friend, and it has been always there for me in time with me.
She definitely does have that Best Coast ethos, like the whole I'm bored, I'm never going to find a lover, you know, kind of self-loathing type of thing.
Right.
Which is prominent on the Best Coast albums.
Yep. And that's a really catchy song. It could just do without the chainsaw guitars.
I thought you had spoken favorably of Jeff the Brotherhood in the past. Have you not?
I think there was one album a couple albums ago that I kind of liked, and then I sort of soured on him. They played a track from them on one of the NPR shows about a month ago, and they said, here's a new track from Jeff the Brotherhood. I want you to listen to this song and tell me what band you think it sounds like. And the song prominently displays a flute, so you're like, okay, it sounds like Jethro Tull. And then I'm like, okay, they can't be that obvious. They're not just going to say it had a flute, so it sounds like Jethro Tull. There's going to be some other band they're going to compare it to.
Men at Work.
Yeah. And so the song ends, and they're like, it sounds like Jethro Tull. And then it turns out the guy from Jethro Tull played the flute on it, you know, over the chainsaw guitar. I'm like, come on. That's terrible.
Wow.
It was just terrible.
Chainsaw guitar is taking a real beating tonight.
I guess. I like the chainsaw flute sound.
Yeah. I wonder what Nicholas thinks of all this.
Yeah, look, I don't know what you guys think, but I think this whole thing is just ridiculous.
Wow.
Wow. Wait, are these, did he make like a Nicholas soundboard?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
I've got a Nicholas soundboard in front of me right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you press a key, you know?
So we could actually be, you know, misrepresenting his views about things.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, we can manipulate this however we want.
Yeah, so when he says, like, this is ridiculous, we could be talking about, like, how it's great that slavery went away.
Right.
This is ridiculous. Wait a minute, what?
All right, and now we've got another pick from Chris. Chris, what do you got?
Well, I came well prepared for this album, which is by Will Butler, who is, I believe, the younger brother of Win Butler in Arcade Fire.
I know he's his brother.
Yeah.
I don't know about younger or older.
Oh. I want to say younger. Maybe I'm wrong.
No relation to the Butler brothers from the Psychedelic Furs, right?
I wouldn't think so. They're British and these guys are Canadians, right?
Correct.
Yep.
By the way, during the NBA All-Star weekend, they were in the celebrity game. Win Butler was in the celebrity All-Star game.
Really?
And he was good. He's a, like, he's really tall. He's like 6 foot five. And he was a good, I mean, he's pudgy, but he's a good basketball player. He must have dominated the Canadian high schools back in the day.
Yeah, I guess.
So there you go. There's my Win Butler update.
Okay.
But this is Will Butler, his brother. And
how's he at basketball? Was he there?
He was not there.
Okay.
He'll be in the lacrosse All-Star game this year, I think.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this album. The album is called Will Butler, I believe. Oh, the album is called Policy.
Yes.
And yeah, so just play the first song. It's called Take My Side.
Will Butler from his 8-song 27-minute album.
Yeah, it's that's kind of an idea of what I think most of it's like. It's kind of a kind of bar rock type of stuff. It's definitely not Arcade Fire with their long orchestral theatrical songs.
Right.
It's shorter songs, a little bit more like that. The thing it reminded me of was a few years ago on my best of list, I had an album by a guy named Gentleman Jesse. And I really like that album a lot. And I think that kind of reminds me of this a little bit.
I remember Gentleman Jesse, but I haven't listened to it in so long that I can't prove that you're wrong. But I'm guessing that you're probably wrong.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah.
I'll
so
go listen to that.
I was kind of, I don't know. This is one of these things that, all these albums are coming out and you're like, what am I going to invest my time into? And I thought, Will Butler from Arcade Fire, come on. This isn't going to be that good. I'm not going to bother. But then, since you recommended it, I listened to it a couple times, and yeah, pretty favorable impression. For some reason, I wasn't expecting it to be any good, and it's actually decent. I think if you don't focus on, this guy's in this major band. Love to see what Barrett thinks about that, because that might have a negative connotation for Barrett. But I think if you just forget or try to distance it from Arcade Fire, it's actually kind of an interesting album.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would generally tend to think, well, if he was that great, then he'd have more input into Arcade Fire.
Yeah, that's true.
But maybe he just wants to do something completely different, and that's kind of what this is.
So I didn't listen enough to make a pick. So you want to pick another one, or Barrett, do you have one?
Chris, you pick one.
Let's see. Let's go with the last song, which is called Witness.
Up to you. I saw
Now, that one has a little bit of an Arcade Fire sound, right? Like,
sure.
You could hear that not knowing who he is, and then you could say, there's a little Arcade Fire in there.
Right. I really don't like his voice at all.
Hmm.
What do you guys think about that?
It's okay.
It's just okay.
Yeah.
To me,
it's serviceable.
Yeah. It's like those buzzsaw guitars in Colleen Green, where it's really an impediment to enjoyment. That and his association with Arcade Fire.
I wonder what Nicholas thinks.
Okay, look, I feel a bit weird, sort of. I mean, Barrett, are you drunk at the moment? I'm just not really sure where you're coming from. Okay.
I need that sound clip, because I can play that for Barrett at any point during the day.
Yeah.
And he'd go, yeah.
No. Nicholas, I think you've been listening long enough to know that I just don't like Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
And I don't like anything having to do with Canada. Really. I don't.
Okay, Barrett, yeah. I'm convinced. You've been drinking. I thought we'd cleared this up, you know, like no drinking before the podcast.
Yeah, I just, I guess I just...
Amazing that he had that one ready.
It might have been clear to you, but somewhat less clear to me. So I'll take that under advisement.
All right, we're going to have to have Chris pick one more song from the Will Butler album.
Oh, goodness. Let's go with the second song on the album, Anna. It's a little bit different.
I think that Nicholas is kind of an all right guy.
Just tell me, is that really what you think? Interesting. Well, it's not really that interesting.
That last song reminded me, when I listened to it, of this song on SpongeBob SquarePants that Patrick wrote. And it's called I Wrote This. Do you remember that?
No.
No, actually. I'm not...
It would be probably just on YouTube, but not on Spotify.
I am not a veteran of the SpongeBob SquarePants canon.
No?
Is it on the White Album?
it's like... on SpongeBob's Greatest Hits.
Oh, it is.
Bonus track. No, I made that up.
Oh, okay. I was like, get all excited.
All right. Will Butler.
There you go.
Not bad at all.
It's listening to that is better than doing nothing.
Absolutely.
That's the standard by which I rate albums.
Yeah.
So the way we got these Nicholas snippets on this podcast is I was listening to a band called Dick Diver, and I thought, hey, I think this band's kind of good. And then I discovered they were from Melbourne, Australia. So then I had to ask Nicholas if he knew about them. And then I asked him if he wanted to be on the podcast to tell us about them, and then he couldn't appear on the podcast. So that's why we have the hologram of Nicholas.
All right. Can't wait to hear what the hologram says about Dick Diver.
Yeah, what does it have to say about Dick Diver?
Okay, cool. So you guys were, you know, we're talking about Dick Diver, the band, who are from Melbourne, and, you know, I'm from Melbourne, I'm in Melbourne. So in terms of stuff that I know about Dick Diver, well, every time I hear their name, I always think of Dick Dale, who's that surf guitar player. So that just kind of shows you how much I know about Dick Diver. But, you know, I mean, seriously, they kind of sound like a combination of those two bands. You know, those bands, they, like that first one had those guys in it and they had that song on that album. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's track 3, Leftovers. Dick Diver.
Yeah, what do you think that band that Nicholas was trying to refer to was?
They sound kind of like those New Zealand bands and the jangle pop stuff a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
This band has a little more like 70s soft rock mixed in on some of the other tracks.
What do you think about the amateur sounding horns? It's always something that bothers me.
You think it's too amateur sounding?
Yeah. I mean, that's fine with me for traditional rock instrumentation, but that always kind of bothered me about, you know, like Sufjan Stevens, a lot of his horn parts are, you know,
played on a synthesizer maybe or something.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
How dare you? Now we're going to fight.
Well, yeah.
I think it's like the vocals on that song are interesting because that's a style that I kind of like pretty often. Somebody who really can't sing in any like academic sense, right? But there's something kind of cool about a completely untrained singer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's kind of what Colleen Green sounds like too. Just completely, you know.
Yeah, she's not going to win the vocal award or anything like that. Yeah,
that's the word I'm looking for. And there's I'll think of it later. I'm pulling Nicholas. be real vague about what I'm trying to say. I actually kind of leave it at that.
I kind of liked that song a little bit more while it remained instrumental. I think it kind of went down from hill for, and not because I don't think she can sing. That is a female, correct?
Just the sound of it. Yeah, I would assume.
I was, you know, I kind of liked the intro, and then,
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nicholas made a pick, so let's get to that.
Yeah, look, in terms of like actual kind of serious, you know, music journalism, which is obviously what this podcast is all about, I was thinking about track 8 called Private Number. And have a listen to the start of this track. Tell me, does it remind you of, who is it? Is it Boz Scaggs or Joe Jackson or something from about 1981? You have a listen, tell me what you think.
The beginning sounds like Night and Day era Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
With that piano.
Yep.
And then but the singing doesn't at all. Once the song kicks in, it sounds like we're at a high school pep rally and their little swing combo is playing a song.
Wow.
That didn't really sound complimentary.
I mean that in
so they play
a good
songs
way.
Like that at pep rallies, like for the football team?
Yeah.
Would you hear that?
In Australia. Yeah. Haven't you ever been to a didgeridoo pep rally? I don't know what I'm saying. Australian rules football is a much gentler game. So
I hear.
Yeah, they kind of play songs like that.
I should mention the Dick Diver album is called Melbourne, Florida. Interesting, huh?
It's interesting.
There is a Melbourne, Florida, isn't there? I think there is.
Are they from Melbourne, Florida?
They're from Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
But they must have thought it was cool.
I thought that
there was
a
Melbourne,
a
Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to run you into a trap there, but yeah. Let's play one more. This one's called Percentage Points.
Floating around. Did you know when things were good? like sunscreen leaves it on.
Diver.
Yep.
I'm having a hard time, really. You know, I kind of cracked on the last one a little bit and stuff, but the three songs we heard were all so different that I'm really having a hard time kind of even coming up with a strong opinion about it.
There's a bit of diversity on the album.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's fine. I wouldn't punch anybody in the face for liking it.
Thanks, Chris. What a guy.
That's good. I didn't say I liked it in case you change your mind.
I'm being magnanimous.
But
hey Chris, you know, I don't care what the other guys say about you. I think you're okay, and actually I agree with what you just said.
That
well yeah, sort of.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Oh man,
smart man.
Well, yes, you're gonna have to keep this. Did he put this together as a soundboard, or did you break it up into little pieces?
No, he sent me the pieces.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
So just in the last week, I'd started listening to this singer-songwriter named Courtney Barnett.
Yeah.
And as we were sitting here, I knew she was Australian. As we were sitting here, I looked and figured out that she was actually also from Melbourne.
Well.
So, yeah. And while we were sitting here on Pitchfork, a review of her new album went up, and it got 8.3 on Pitchfork. So there you go. So maybe that's a teaser for a future episode.
Could be.
I wonder if Nicholas has any opinions about that.
As long as we're talking about Melburnians. By the way, I'm about to be related to a Melburnian, as my sister in Australia, who lives in Melbourne, is pregnant. I'm just going to go ahead and announce that right now.
Wow.
So I'm going to have a nephew who's half American, half Melburnian.
Just thinking like...
A nephew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I was I thought...
Where are you going with this?
Yeah, I was thinking niece, because he said sister.
My sister is going to have a baby, and it's a boy. Sometimes women have boys.
It does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, Chris. So,
I'm sorry.
You can go hang out with Nicholas.
That's right. Maybe I'll go take a trip out there, see my little nephew.
Yeah.
How long has your sister been there?
About a year and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, it looks like she's kind of putting down some roots there.
Yes. I think she just didn't want to leave, and so she decided to have a baby.
Yeah.
Is that a rule in Australia?
They don't do that.
If you get pregnant, you get to stay? They're pretty strict about the work visas and stuff there, from what I hear.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Anyway, this has been fertility talk.
All right. Yes. Well, what else do we have? Anything? I think we've exhausted our musical repertoire for the week. There's all kinds of stuff coming out.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard to decide what to talk about.
Right. I've got some ideas.
I've got like...
Chris brought one up.
Tons of things on my Spotify playlists.
Well, we'll have to be, you know, doing a lot of listening this week, right?
There is another big album coming out from one of my favorites who was previously mentioned on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. We all know that one.
His name rhymes with Foofian Blevins.
No one's ever going to guess that.
No. I was going to listen to that streaming on...
Yeah,
it's NPR, but it's like broken up into individual songs.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I listened to the whole thing today. It's streaming. Okay, well,
anyway, I think on those NPR first listen things, you can choose like the tracks separately, or you can choose like one big file that's just the whole album.
Thing. Yeah. Because I was lifting weights again.
He's got to work that into every podcast.
And I didn't want to have to.
It's his version of.
I didn't want to have to put down the weights to change the songs.
And Barrett's so modest that he wore a long sleeve shirt today because he didn't want to show off.
Yeah, you got to keep the pythons in the cage.
You don't want to let him out during the podcast. That's his version of Tommy Boy, Chris Farley, when he's walking by the model by the pool. He's like, which way is the weight room?
Oh, yeah.
Another album coming out by one of Barrett's favorites that I sent you a text about the other day. You've already forgotten this?
Yep. Wait.
We'll talk about this in post-production.
No, the people like the warts and all stuff that we bring every week.
It's streaming on NPR right now.
I know. Why can't they remember it?
I went back and I listened to our like 2010 year in review, our best of the decade.
Oh, okay. I know what it is now, yeah.
And you were talking about how you and your son listened to this band.
Yep.
Oh, that one. Okay, I know that one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be fun.
This is your life.
Right. All right. I think Nicholas was going to sign off. So here he is.
All right.
Okay, guys. All right. I'm going to sign off now. I just want to alert your attention to something that I don't like when people are talking to me on the phone, which is what I call the whispered by, you know, when you're talking, you're all talking, everyone's talking in a normal voice, and then the very last thing the other person says is bye. They go, okay, I'll see you later, bye. So it's the whispered bye, okay? I don't know, why do people do that? Why do people whisper the word bye at the end of a telephone conversation? I don't know. I don't know why, but I know that I don't like it, and I know that it really kind of, you know, puts a little sour taste in my mouth at the end of any telephone call, okay? So I'm not going to do that. I'm just alerting that your attention to that sort of phenomenon. I don't know if you have that phenomenon in America, but we've certainly got it here in Australia. The whispered bye, don't do it. Yeah, okay. So, great to not talk to you. Hope you're all lovely, and I'll see you next time. Bye. Bye. See, that wasn't whispered. It was just a big bye. Bye. Good night. See ya. Bye. Bye. Okay, guys. All right.
Whoops.
Let's talk about that. Is he onto something there with the whispered goodbye?
I think I've heard it like on rare occasions.
But I like him to like breaking into the stand up though. He's like the Australian Jerry Seinfeld now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, totally. What's with guys whispering bye? Why can't you just say bye? That's my impersonation. My Seinfeld impersonation.
Nicholas.
Yeah.
Did you hear that impersonation of you?
That was an impersonation.
What did you think about that? Oh, no, that was your Seinfeld.
Yes.
Okay.
That was Seinfeld doing Nicholas as he's wont to do.
Yes.
Oh, wait. I think there's one more thing. Listen to this one.
Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention.
All right.
Listener's getting every cent worth of value out of this podcast tonight.
He's going to regret that. Among his few regrets.
We could keep replaying that.
We'll be sending that out to the world.
I've got the sound file. We can just play that every week.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's enough.
Outstanding.
We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.